Chapter 2. The tank. Again. And the tank is packed. Maybe 30 guys in a space meant for half that. Ceramic brick walls and metal bars. The tank never smells too good, but today, with the heat and all, it's indescribable. But we have to try. It's like someone got hold of a big old fish, stuffed the fish with dirty gym socks, anchovy paste, and a hot human log, tucked that sucker inside a radiator, and then left the radiator on full blast for a couple of months. It's the weekend. Not the best time to be in here with the growlers, the yelpers, and the mutants, the people who can't seem to get along with the codes that are needed outside. But Jesus, lacking the capacity for fear, knowing only love, is not afraid. He crouches quietly in the corner, knowing that this moment too will pass, that something will happen next and his story will move along. A huge, tattooed guy is eyeing him from across the packed tank, nudging his buddy, who is, if anything, even bigger, with a shaved head glistening in the half-light. Man, Jesus thinks to himself, we've been in a few of these. It's true. In his 31 years down here, he's seen holding pens in Frisco, Vegas, and New Orleans. He's sweated in cells in California and shivered in tanks in Colorado. Affray, breach of the peace, resisting arrest. All the channels they have down here for people who dare to put their hands up now and again and say, this ain't right. He looks up at the tiny grilled window. He can't see any stars, just sodium orange street light burning hard outside. But he knows there are stars up there. Shit, Dad, he thinks. Lead? Inspire? They're cool words and all, real cool. But do you know how resistant to inspiration many of these people are? Yet, funnily enough, they are easily led. They just got lousy taste in leaders for the most part. That time in Denver when he was talking to that crowd and that anti-abortionist lady spat in his face and then her husband, or boyfriend, or whatever, started beating on him. It wasn't them who wound up in the tank. I would have kicked your ass myself, the cop who locked him up told him. But why? Jesus asked him. The cop had shrugged. I'm a Christian, he said. Hardest part of the job, loving those who hate it. Jesus sighs and rests his head against the warm ceramic brickwork. Chris's birthday tonight. Surprise party up on the roof. They still needed to get some things. Hamburger buns, hot dog sausages, cheese. All the stuff he'd been hoping to get from the supermarket. It didn't matter. He had some cash squirreled away. He could cover it. And Morgan was getting the liquor. He had the dough for that, so that would be cool. Chris and Morgan, his band, his guys. They'd been playing together in various lineups since they were teenagers, back in the late 90s in Cozad. Yeah, Cozad. Cozad fucking Nebraska. Population 4,000. Thanks a bunch, Dad. Forget L.A. or New York or Seattle. He didn't even land him in Omaha, where they might have lucked into the whole Saddle Creek Bright Eyes thing. Various guitar players had come and gone until they'd settled into being a three-piece in the classic Husker Du, Dinosaur Jr. Nirvana fashion. Favor the underdog. Of course, Jesus was an indie kid. There had been the tiny record deal about 7 years ago. Their relocation to New York and a brief flowering of hope. Then the zero radio play, the album that sank without trace, the endless touring, playing to 15 people at the Silver Dollar in Arizona, the Bottom Line in Delaware, the Mission in Castle Falls. The slow dawning that the full extent to which the general public did not give a fuck about their music could not be measured. Then came the McJobs, washing dishes and bussing tables in their late 20s, the downgrade to the tiny two-room apartment, the new material they were working on when they could afford rehearsal space. JC had thought it would all be simple down here. Form a cool band, sell lots of records, and then use your platform to tell people how badly they were fucking shit up. You know, kind of like Bono did, but way cooler. Yeah, right, he thought now. Gradually, these past few years, with his music career, stalled, you might say, he decided, well, if you couldn't reach the world to change it, then you tried to change the world within your reach. God bless the guys. Morgan and Chris had stuck by Jesus as these extracurricular activities started to overtake those of their band. It had started with Becky and the boys a few years back. He'd helped her get clean, off junk, like they were trying to do now with Meg. They helped Becky and some of her friends with their social security forms, helped a few others getting into a hostel. They started taking hot leftovers from the kitchens they worked in down to the dark places below the elevated tracks of the subway line. They got to know a few of the people they were feeding, and JC found himself helping them with their welfare claims, trying to get them into shelters and stuff, making sure they had food in the most expensive city in the world, a place where it often came down to this: eat or have some place to sleep. It had evolved into a kind of self-funded DIY outreach program, and they'd wound up taking care of a kind of menagerie of waifs and strays. Becky, Meg, Bob, and Gus and Dottie, the old winos who would surely have died this past winter if it hadn't been for Jesus and the guys. Big Bob they met when he was burned out of the dumpster he was living in with two buddies, three old vets, guys who'd bled into the Vietnamese dirt, who wound up living in a dumpster over in Chelsea. And someone torched it. Bob's buddies both died, burned alive. Another buddy of Bob's had told them all this, of course. Bob hadn't spoken properly since 1973 because,
"Hey, fucko."
A kick against his leg and Jesus looks up. The two guys, Mr. Shaved Head and Mr. Tattoos, are standing over him, others already clearing out of the way. "Evening, guys," Jesus says, smiling. "Hot, huh?" Tattoos crouches down next to Jesus. His wife beater smells like it was used to wrap the log fish package. One of his tats, a big one, on the forearm, shows a naked woman on all fours. She has breasts growing out of her back as well as dangling from her front, and the inscription above the tattoo reads, "My dream." "Wow," Jesus thinks. "What the fuck is this dude selling?" Although he is not old, the guy has few teeth, and his voice comes in a sibilant whisper through the gaps in his dentistry.
"Son," the guy whispers, "it's about to get a lot fucking hotter."
"How so?" Jesus asks, looking directly at the guy. This is a tough son of a bitch, but even he is momentarily unsettled by Jesus's gaze, by its cool, blue purity. His eyes dart skittishly around the cell while he speaks through those bad old teeth.
"Here's how it's gonna be. You're gonna bend over in that fucking corner, and me..."
He lowers his voice even further at the sound of footsteps approaching.
"Hey, man, where's my fucking lawyer at?"
someone shouts out.
"Shut the fuck up!"
the guard shouts back and walks on by.
"And me and my boy here are gonna do what we need to do."
"Really?" Jesus says. "That's what you... You want to sodomize me?"
"Soda what now?"
Shaved Head says, leaning down too now. "It means have sex with me," Jesus says.
"Listen, you smart-mouthed motherfucker,"
My Dream says.
"You make a fucking peep, and I'll do you in the fucking kidneys."
He pulls his vest up to show he's got a small, nasty-looking homemade shiv stuck in his waistband. It looks like a plastic toothbrush handle with a razor blade melted into it. There's another tattoo, a bullet hole, above it. It reminds Jesus of a statistic he read about, how every single male executed in America in modern times had a tattoo of some kind.
Execution. Man, they still did that shit down here.
In front of all these people? Jesus says. Look, I know a lot of terrible things probably happened to you when you were growing up to make you think something like this would be a good idea, but, I mean, will it really be any kind of fun? Think about it, because I'm willing to bet that as soon as you ejaculate, you're going to feel just dreadful, like ashamed and guilty and all that. I was with this girl once in Florida, and the shiv is suddenly in his face, wavering near his eyeball.
Shut the fuck up and take your fucking pants down,
Mr. Tats hisses through gritted, broken teeth. Jesus sighs as he does so. Yeah, that girl in Florida, after a show. She'd been hot, man. There'd been a bunch of chicks, but nothing serious. Why not? Well, a part of him sensed that, given what he was trying to do, trying to get the whole be nice thing back in circulation, things probably weren't going to work out too well down here. Like now, for instance. Shaved head forming a kind of protective barrier, screening them off from the rest of the tank, while Tats gets into position, fumbling hurriedly at his zipper. People look the other way. No one says anything, of course. Had Jesus been one of these people, he'd have said something. Yeah, and wound up in the infirmary, no doubt. He can sense stuff going on behind him, someone getting into position. Come on, then. Get this over with. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, and all that stuff. What had he been thinking about a minute ago? Oh, yeah. Bob. Bob. Corporal Bob, in 1973, was just 21 then. The village was thousands of years old, near the Cambodian border, pockmarked by artillery, dusted with napalm, the treetops still burning. That toasted petrol smell in your lungs, the roar of the F-4s still washing back across the jungle, and then Bob and the guys coming in, capping off in all directions. Bob getting told to frag a tunnel. VC all over the fucking place. He dropped three of those high-impact bad boys down the hatch, felt the ground all rippling up beneath him, and then swung down in there, his M16 hot as a griddle, burning his fingers on the frame as he slammed another mag home, pulled back the bolt, and got ready to rock and roll. The smoke cleared, and he saw the enemy up close and personal. Two little kids. One flat on its back, screaming with no legs. The other one hopping around, not screaming, glazed, with one leg and one arm, trying to balance against the wall, trying to pick up the severed arm with the good one. The mud floor of the tunnel in abattoir. A woman, their mom, Bob guessed, trying to crawl towards them, holding her stomach in, but long strands of intestine trailing along behind her. A baby's head and shoulders were just lying there, the rest of it atomized, gone, all gone. The kid with no legs juddering and banging her fists on the floor. He saw now it was a girl. Fitting, going into shock, the one with one leg hopping around, trying to clutch the leg stump, trying to get that one hand over the jagged bone, trying to stop the blood gouting out. The femoral artery sheared open, that arterial blood thick as molasses. Pots of rice still bubbling on a little stove set into the mud wall. Bob could draw you those pots today in total detail. And Bob, realizing that they were many, many clicks from the nearest conceivable evac point. Bob, doing what he had to do. The first time he'd used his .45 in combat, pressing it oh so gently to those temples, using up the last of his sanity. Bob's CO finding him in the tunnel later, covered in blood, surrounded by the dead family, just saying, Frag, frag, frag. The only word Big Bob had spoken since that morning. Psych discharge and fast forward 38 years to a dumpster in New York City was all she wrote. He feels spit dribbling onto his buttocks now, an exploratory jab with a thumb down there. One of those guys getting ready to... Jesus tenses, tries to relax, but he's tensing as he feels it, hard as Bakelite, twanging against his cheeks, probing for his... pressing right against his... Forgive them, Lord, they... The footfall of the guards, and then a voice saying, Jesus? Jesus Christ? The guy's laughing as he says it, as folk often do. Here, Jesus says, holding his hand up. Get your ass out here. You made bail. The not totally unpleasant, it has to be admitted, sensation of that half inch of cock popping back out of him, and Jesus is pulling his pants up as shaved head and tats rearrange themselves, scrambling away from him. Timing, J.C. thinks, is everything.
Another time, pretty boy,
Tats whispers. You are forgiven, Jesus replies. The guy punches Jesus square in the face, mashing his nose up, blood streaming down his chin and onto his t-shirt.
Forgive that, you fucking faggot,
the guy says.
I'm the faggot?
Jesus manages nasally through blood.